Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the word of God. And pray for your divine direction and guidance to help us to understand your way, to be bound in your presence and do your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, technology, you love it. Okay. So, does anyone have any questions they would like for us to look into at this point or another time? Okay. So, I've been working on a series on worldviews. Right now, I've got a schedule of worldviews that go off until the end of June. And so, if you don't want to hear about worldviews, let me know. And we'll see what we can do. You can always email me any questions at questions@gbcnh.org. And those over the internet can join in through our Yahoo Messenger at gbcmh 95037. So today we're going to take a look at a deistic worldview. We're taking a look at a Christian worldview and then an atheistic worldview. And so we're going to take a look at a deistic worldview today. Just as a refresher, let's go over to for what is a worldview. John 18:38. And so part of the information that I'm getting to help understand some of these worldviews and aspects of them is a book called The Universe Next Door. And it's probably the book on worldviews and understanding. It's written by a Christian author, and he makes no apologies that what he presents is from a Christian perspective. And so he has a series of five questions that he asks the worldview and condensing it down to a different set of probably three or four questions. Okay, so we're trying to understand what is a worldview. And so, David, can you read John 18:38 for us?
Chapter 18:38?
Yeah.
I say unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all.
But okay. So what we have in a worldview is, again, the answer to your worldview answers the question, what is truth? And so it is ultimately the way that you answer your questions, the starting point of how you look at everything and anything. And so it's how you answer the question of what is truth. Let's go to Proverbs 21:2 and listen to the first part of it. 21:2. We're just going to look at the first segment of that, and we'll go to Joe. Proverbs 21:2a.
Every way of a man is right in his own eyes.
Okay. So the worldview answers the question of what is right and what is wrong. And it deals with those issues. So if we're going to understand a deistic worldview, let's look into some of their foundational understandings of what do they believe is true. So we'll go to Isaiah 42, verse 5. Isaiah 42, verse 5.
Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein.
Okay. Now, what does a deist believe?
God created everything.
Yeah, God is the creator of all. And a deist has no problems with that at all. Of course God created. Okay. So let's take a look at Job 22. Look at verse 13 and 14. And this is one of those things that begins separating the deist from a Christian. Is Job 22, 13, and 14 one of those issues? Maria?
Job 22, 13, and 14.
And thou sayest, how doth God know? Can he judge through the dark cloud? The clouds are covering to him, that he seeth not, and he walketh in the circuit of heaven.
Okay. So what does a deist believe? God can't see you. God can't get involved in your life. He is a God that is far off. He does exist. He did create. He did start everything off exactly as he said. But that's the extent of it.
Yeah, he wound it up like a clock and then went away.
Yes. It's often referred to as the clockmaker God. Or the clockmaker view. God started everything off and then he left it alone after that. And so we are responsible for what happens as a result. God doesn't really intervene much. Now, there are two sets of deists. There's the optimistic deist, which will look at God involves himself to a certain level degree, but very minor. And then there's the other view that God is just doesn't get involved at all. He's there. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't see anything. He doesn't touch anything. And as a result, there's no relationship to him. The deists in general, though, reject the idea of a personal God, a God to whom you are truly accountable to in a personal sense, and the God of the Scriptures is completely foreign to them. Who are two of probably the most well-known deists in history?
Thomas Jefferson is one of them.
Thomas Jefferson.
And Ben Franklin.
And Ben Franklin. And those are about the only founding fathers you ever hear a whole lot about. Of the 55 signers of the Declaration of Independence, it was 50 were reverends?
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere around that, between 45 and 50 were reverends. And the only people that anybody knows is obviously Patrick Henry. Why does everyone know Patrick Henry?
Give me liberty or give me death.
I'm thinking of John Hancock is something. I'm sorry about
so
that.
Big.
Yeah, because his signature's so big. I even forgot about it. Sorry. But everybody knows John Hancock because of the signature, but do they know what he believed?
No.
Not really. But Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin were both deists. Thomas Jefferson was one of the documents recording his history, is that it has been claimed that what he did was he took the Bible and basically cut out or removed every section that had a miracle or a link to a miracle, because he rejected miracles. Okay. And so to the deists, God is not there, and the only thing that we can know about anything is what we are able to reason and what we can contemplate and come to an understanding of. It's all about my mind. Okay. Go to 2 Peter 3, 4.
Saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation.
So what does the deist believe?
Things just keep on trucking along?
Yeah, things just keep trucking along. Whatever happens, that happens because it's just the way things work. Okay? It's a naturalistic explanation of things. Fundamentally, what's the difference between a deist and an atheist?
One does acknowledge God.
Yeah, it's about the extent of it. And so a deist is basically an atheistic theist, which is weird, but the basis of the morals, the basis of right and wrong, those things come from the same source. They have no basis for them because they reject the God of the Bible. They reject the divine being as being intimately involved, and therefore you have no responsibility to them. Okay. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 3. Look at 19 and 20.
For that which is, for that which befalleth the sons of men, befalleth beasts, even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so the dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no above a beast, for all it is, for all is vanity. All go on to one place. All are the dust, and all turn to dust again.
Okay. Now, the deists will take this passage to the greater extent than the Christian one, because the Christian reads these verses, and what does he understand?
There's a flesh part and there's a spirit thing. You know, the flesh goes to the dust, but there's a spirit that.
And so both, this is a picture of the reality of death. Do animals die?
Yes.
Do people die?
Yes.
Now, the deist takes us a little bit further. If you read this super literal, what's the difference between a man and an animal?
Nothing.
Man is nothing more than an animal. We are the same thing. We might have a certain amount of improved ability to communicate, an improved ability of logical processing, but that's it. We're just a higher animal, if that. Okay? Notice that it says here that so that a man has no preeminence of a beast. Now, the deist literally buys that. We're no better than an animal. Okay? Let's go to Acts 23:8.
Acts 23:8. So the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both.
So, who am I identifying at, do you think? Am I identifying as having more of a deist mentality?
Sadducees. There you go. They're fine. Yeah.
So the Sadducees. Now, why am I aligning the Sadducees to be of a deistic mind?
No resurrection.
No resurrection. What happens when a person dies to the Sadducees?
They die.
That's it. It's done. It's over with. There is no eternal life. There is no extended hope. It's just, you die.
And they reject angels, which would be heavenly spiritual beings, spirits.
Yeah.
So, you're right, it's very deist.
Okay. And it's a deist mindset. Yeah. And so the deists will tend to say, well, you die, and that's about it. Now, there are, like I said, there are basically two camps of deists. One camp of deists will literally imply, you live, you die, that's it. Okay? They really are fundamentally no different than an atheist, as far as what a lot of what they believe. The other side, I think, is the most commonly recognized deist, but most people refer to them as Christian. And I think a lot of professing Christians are actually deists. How many people have you ever been to a funeral? The person, they never talk about Jesus, never talk about the personal beliefs, but they say we will see them together in heaven. What is their mindset as far as where everybody winds up, regardless of who they are or what they've done? Everybody gets to heaven.
All roads lead to heaven.
Yep, all roads lead to heaven. That is a form of universalism. A lot of Christians, and I don't know if it's most, but I would probably, if I quote Barna, I would probably say most, actually are more deistic minded than are Christian minded. They recognize Christ, but is Christ the only way to a lot of Christians?
No.
He's just the way that they grew up with. Okay? And so the deistic mind, the optimistic deist will say everybody gets to heaven, universalism. The pessimistic says, well, we just die, we cease to exist. But they acknowledge the existence of God. Okay. And so both of those mindsets, though, end up with some great commonalities that become a problem, as we'll take a look later. So do these functional understanding of a deistic mindset make sense? Okay. So again, there's two camps. There's a pessimistic and the optimistic deist. And the difference is, where do you end up at? And the level of God's involvement. The optimistic deist won't have a problem with prayer, because they believe that God in some form is involved, just not so personal. That he's a God out there, but we can still sort of kind of communicate with him. But they do have a problem with God actually listens to your prayer and will actually hear your prayer and will actually respond to your prayer. That they would have a problem with in general. So how you can be a consistent deist? Because as a Christian, we need to be consistently Christian. And generally, it's in the issue of consistency, especially for atheists and a lot of the other religious faiths. It's the consistency that's a problem.
Judge not, and ye shall. This is Luke chapter 6, verses 37 and 38. Sorry about that. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again.
So, what do you have to do in order to be a consistent deist?
Do not be judgmental.
You cannot, don't judge anybody for anything. Now, is that what Jesus is saying? Never evaluate anybody?
No, I think this condemnation is not in our hands, is one thing. I mean, we make judgments every day, but condemnation is not ours to do.
Right, but you'll hear deists and atheists quote this verse a lot.
Yeah, they rip it out of context.
Because what they're saying is, you have no right to tell me I'm wrong. Is that what Jesus means by this?
No. I think it's just don't put yourselves in the judgment Son of God. Mm-hmm. Other verses tell us we certainly need to warn others and warn people from the wrath that comes.
Right. So Jesus is talking about condemnation. We're not the ones who decide whether or not someone will enter into the presence of Almighty God or not. Jesus is. Now, if someone claims to be a Christian and they are living a life of sin, Paul tells us, and Jesus would encourage him to go and tell the person that they are doing an unrighteous work. Read Ezekiel 33. And turn from your sin. Jesus says in John chapter 4 to the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. Okay. And so we are to evaluate the reality of sin in the lives of other people, but a deist says you have no right to do that.
Johnny.
Now here's the interesting thing. From a deistic standpoint, who acknowledges the presence of God, and yet rejects the God of the Scriptures, what is the basis for judging anybody about anything?
Don't have any. I mean, it's just there is no. This is our judgment manual, the light of the Scriptures. If you don't reject that, whatever you do is right in your own eyes.
Absolutely. You ultimately place yourself in the position of God, and you decide for yourself what is right and what is wrong. Now, throughout history, where has man gotten himself in trouble deciding what is right and what is wrong?
Everywhere, man does
it. That's where we got in the mess to begin with.
Adolf Hitler, you're going to decide right and wrong.
Well, just go further back, about 4,000 years before that.
No, Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve.
Yeah, okay.
Adam and Eve decided we're going to decide for ourselves what is right and wrong for ourselves. They rejected God. They, in a sense, were one of the first deists. Okay. Now, we don't know what level of repentance they have and seeking to return to God. What we do know is that they knew God existed because they saw him, they talked with him, but they rejected God's authority over them. And as a result, they rejected the God of the Bible. As a result of that, what they became was believing in God, but God has no impact or influence on us. Okay? And so, the deist, to be a consistent deist, you have to you cannot be judgmental of anybody or anything, because there's no basis by which you can judge. Right? And so that's the thing. When people talk about that are non-Christians, or even if they are Christians, they talk about things being good or bad, evil or wicked, or blessed or whatever. Say, on what basis? How do you know that is good? And what you'll begin to do with that is begin unraveling what the worldview is. I mentioned Barna, I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago. Barna did an evaluation of only professing evangelicals. So you take all of the world and you just swap out those who profess Christianity, or is all of America professing, and you just take those that are profess Christianity, so that's a pretty big chunk, about 80-90%, I think it's around 70-80% now profess some form of Christianity. Then you just take those who would claim to be evangelicals, and you're probably about 10-15% of that population. And he did an analysis and just raised up some questions, and his report came back that only about 10% of evangelicals actually hold a biblical worldview. That's significant. So by and large, what he's saying is that even Christians, the vast majority of Christians, have rejected the Bible as authoritative.
They're ignorant of
what a Christian is. Most people believe a Christian is someone who goes to church. It's not what a Christian is. You remember what a Christian is? A disciple. It's far more than a follower. It's a disciple. One who studies to become like the master. Okay? So let's see what else is required. Let's go to Romans 10, 2 and 3.
For I bear them record that they have sealed God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God.
Okay. So what do you have to do to be a consistent deist? There's two things you have to do. You have to acknowledge the reality of God and have a certain zeal for, there is a God, of course there's a God. But at the same time, you have to say, but I'm not going to know him. He is an impersonal God. I cannot know him, so I'm not even going to try to know him. There's no desire to know, who is this God that I claim? And so as a result, they're left on their own. And that's the problem. One of the things that's making big headways right now is intelligent design. Is intelligent design a good thing?
Yes and no.
Yes and no. Depends upon what you mean by good. Is it of God?
No.
Right, because the question in intelligent design is, who is the God? What is his nature? What is his character? Okay. So it's not a God thing. As much as the atheists like to say that it is Christianity wrapped in scientific garbage, or garb, however they want to phrase that, it is not Christianity. It's barely deistic. because the identity of who that God is, the knowledge of God, is foreign to the intelligent design movement. Now, that doesn't mean that the intelligent design movement has nothing to offer. They offer some good evaluations or analysis of how can we know that the existence of a God in the way things and things work. Behe is an intelligent design guy, but he's more deist. Yes.
Is that intelligent creation research?
No, no. Creation Research Institute, CRI, is Christian. It deals from a scientific perspective, but looking at history through the lens of the Bible. So CRI, for example, will take a stand on 6 days of creation. God said 6 days, so guess how long it took God to create? 6 days, because God said so. Intelligent design would not go there. I forgot what the name of the institute is. Institute of Creation Research?
No, there's. Yes. Are you talking about intelligent design or the?
No, Institute of Creation Research. Yeah, that's right. ICR. Yeah. CRI is Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff. Christian Research Research Institute, not Creation Christian. Sorry, got the acronyms wrong. Forgive me. But there's a Discovery Institute or something like that, you know, and they're one of the leading intelligent design groups. But understand, it is not Christian. Okay? They are deists, and that's about all you can say about them. Now, there might be Christians integrating with them, true Christians. Okay? But the institute, as an institute, is deistic.
Yeah, that's an impression I got. There might be some Christians there, but they took their mission to really to go into the schools and say, okay, you say you can't bring Christ into school, but you're just trying to. Mm-hmm. You really can't separate the two. You're just ignoring that. Your evolution does not make sense, and
right.
You're carving sword.
Right. So there's some credence to what they say, but they're not Christian. They're deists as an institute. So, as a result of that, the concept of, notice what it says here, they are being ignorant of God's righteousness. Because they don't understand God's nature and character, they have no knowledge of really how to evaluate what is morally right and morally wrong. All they can do is go by their own opinion, their own view, or what they believe researchers or others have communicated and been able to prove, when of course they may not have been able to prove it. Okay? It would not be uncommon for a deist, for example, to say, well, there's nothing wrong with homosexuality. Because our basis of right and wrong would tend to be more along the lines of popular opinion. Okay? So where does a deist actually begin to collapse in his worldview where he deviates from consistency? Galatians 4:4-9.
Of the time was come, God sent forth a son made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because you are sons, God sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when you know not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage?
Now, a deist will cease functioning in a deistic worldview when he attempts to rely upon any sense of grace or mercy. when he acknowledges a or has a concept of a redemption, that there's more to this life than the life we live. If there is a need for redemption, who's the Redeemer and why? They'll also, if they claim to be a son of God, what does that mean? In a deistic view, because remember, God is far off. God is out there. He's unknowable. He exists, but he's unknowable. And so to claim to be a son of God would be an inconsistent claim. Also, to claim an alliance or adherence to Christ, which a lot of them will do, is actually they have ceased functioning as a deist, because they're claiming an allegiance to God that is foreign to deism. Now, most deists don't profess to be deists. Right? Most will tend to profess to be Christian, but they will adopt a deistic worldview. God is out there, but we're sort of kind of can't really know what he is. But their very nature of not claiming to be deistic, but claiming to be something else, places them in a hypocritical position. Because they're claiming, in some sense, to know God, but the God that they know is unknowable. Go to John 16, 7 to 11.
Verses where?
John 16, 7 to 11.
7 to 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended.
Are you in John 16?
Yeah, John 16.
16, verse 7.
Verse 7.
Nevertheless.
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and he see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged.
Okay. Now, if a deist talks about sin, is he being consistent?
No.
No, why?
Well, because kind of going back to the whole that involved thing, they have no standard saying this is sin.
There's no, they have no basis by which they can identify sin. What is right and what is wrong. Same thing with justice. What is justice in a deistic view? Because remember, God's out there somewhere. And so the concept of justice, in, to a certain degree, is a foreign idea. There's no basis for it. Now, from a Christian perspective, how do we know what justice is?
God's word.
God's word. God's character. God's nature. We can know what is just because it is what God will do or has done. That's how we know what's right and wrong, how we know what is just and what is proper. We look at God. And so the concept of justice and sin, judgment, evaluation of people is opens up the door to being inconsistent with this. To acknowledge God, but to say that there is a right and wrong is to say, which God are you referring to? Let's go to Romans 10:13. If a deist talks about salvation, is he being consistent?
No, because it's a God that's not.
Right, because it's a God that's far off. What are you going to be saved from in a deistic view? Okay. calling upon the name of the Lord for salvations. It doesn't make sense. It's being inconsistent to cry out to God, to seek for salvation, to seek for redemption. All of those things are contrary to a deistic worldview. Okay. Let's go to Romans 14, 11, and 12.
Where it is written, "As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God."
In a deistic worldview, who are you going to be held accountable to?
Nobody.
So when a deist identifies a level of being held accountable, they're being inconsistent. Now, the Christian is the only one that can say you will be held accountable. Why?
Because God's our judge.
Because God is our judge. He has made us in His likeness and in His image to function as He does. And when we cease functioning as He does, we will be judged. It's just the reality of it. Okay. But a deist calling for accountability is hypocritical. And so, as I was doing the study, like I said, the difference between an atheist and a deist is a deist has God. But other than that, their morals, their standards, everything else lines up at the same time. It's arbitrary. Matthew 19, 17, 19.
And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments."
18 and 19.
Okay, I'm sorry. He said unto him, "Which?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself."
Okay. So for a deist to say it's wrong to lie, says who? And you can actually ask that for anybody who raises up any moral question. Says who? On what basis? Because that's ultimately, as you deal with any faith system, that's where the difference is going to lie. Eventually we'll get into prophetic worldviews. But, you know, why is lying wrong in a non-Christian worldview? The best that they may have is some books out of their heritage that identify it as wrong. And so thereby adhering to their book, they would be consistent. But now we have to take a step back and say, how do we know their book is right? Okay. And we need to be able to answer those same questions for the Christian book, the Bible. How do we know the Bible is right, which we've gone through before? Okay. So understand that from a deistic standpoint, there is a God. He's the one that caused all things to come into being. But he is an impersonal God, a distant God. He is an unknowable God. And as a result, our ability to truly be held accountable to him is almost zero. Because we don't have a way to know what he expects. It's sort of like I tell my son or employee, "I want you to go build me a house." Now, what's wrong with that?
Yeah,
absolutely. He has no knowledge of how big, how many rooms, what colors, what shape. He has no knowledge of anything. He just knows I'm supposed to build a house. Okay. Same thing with the deistic view. God says, "Go build a life." On what basis? What's my plan? What's it supposed to look like?
and be thou holy to them, holy to God, if you don't have that standard, you just...
Yeah, if you don't know what holy is, you're completely lost. In fact, is that even the plan for a deist, to build a life that is holy?
No.
No. There is no point.
There's no lamp before his feet or light his path.
So does that make sense about the deistic worldview?
The tarot card, Ben Franklin and Thomas and Jefferson, the dollars.
Well, I'll tell you what, you can
give me.
I'll swap you one for one. You give me your Benz, I'll give you my
Washington.
No problem.
Yeah, I gave you my 50 cent piece, right? Was that the Ben Franklin too?
I don't know.
No, that's
Kenny. Yeah.
No,
I know Ben's on the
100. Yeah, I know.
Jefferson's on the $2. Okay. And then I know that George is on the quarter and on the dollar.
No, he pays for it.
Okay. Hey, I'll leave it off to you. I'll give you a dollar. I'll be generous. Give you a dollar for your bennies. Any other questions, comments?
I see, you know, when you're talking about Jefferson and Franklin, Franklin, I remember reading, I don't remember it that well, but that the Continental Congress couldn't decide, you know, they were arguing among themselves, and I guess that was the 1789 Constitutional Convention. And so Franklin called time of prayer, yeah. And I forgot, he devoted one or two days to prayer, and of course he did quote the scripture. He was talking about, you know, once the Lord build a house, the buildings will advance. And but so there is a his what you and I wondered about that before, but what you said before, some deists, there is some belief that God does deal with men directly, and that he does hear, and that it isn't strictly the watchmaker idea.
And so that would be the optimistic deist.
Or maybe he came around towards the end of his life. I don't know.
He never did.
He never did.
From what I understand, he rejected Jesus Christ up until the day of his death.
That's exactly. He was a good friend of George Whipple, who was a famous evangelist who's going around, and I guess George Whipple kind of lamented that, you know, Ben Franklin never really accepted Christ. So that's like the 1750s.
Yeah. Ben Franklin did identify that he admired Jesus Christ the most, but never accepted him as who he is, as his own, as the sacrifice for sins, as God in flesh. And so, yes, as a deist, he acknowledged God, and notice he, as an optimistic deist, he acknowledged God intervenes in the affairs of man, but he ultimately has no way of knowing what God expects. And so when he talks of doing what is good and right, he's going based upon what his own mind can consider and understand what is good and right, not based upon the nature and character of God, which is what Matthew, what we looked at, was Matthew 19 dealt with, as well as Luke 18. 18 is the picture of the evaluation, or the picture of goodness that we're to pursue, is the picture of God. A deist would say, but I don't know who God is. He is unknowable. Ben Franklin ultimately would accept that, is you can't know who God is, but God intervenes. And in some concept, they understand that God is merciful and gracious. What does that mean? Right? What is mercy and what is gracious? Those are sort of nebulous or meaningless concepts unless you understand what is condemnation and judgment. And the only way you can know what that really means is to know who God is. That's the only place where it makes sense. Go
ahead. What does a deist think then of the crucifixion? What that was all about? That simply he was a good man and they killed him?
The deists at best, as they accept the existence of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, would just say he was a good teacher who got a bum rap. they misunderstood who he was and crucified this guy for trying to tell them to behave themselves and just missed it. But no, it was definitely not penalty for sin. Wouldn't be there. Any questions, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you are ever present with us to lead us and to guide us into your Word and your will and your understanding. Help us, Lord, to live a life that pleases you, to evaluate all things in the light of your Scriptures, and follow you. In Jesus' name I pray.